Okay, today we're going to do Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph in Maseches Megillah. We left off toward the top of Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. We're going through all of the different ways that various Amoraim would start their drashos on the Megillah. So I think we went through six of them yesterday, and we're up to number seven, about three lines from the top of the page, and Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Rabbi Chanina bar Papa Pasuk Lepischa Laha Parshasa Mehacha. He would start Darshani in the Megillah by quoting the following Pasuk. Here Kafta Enosh L'Roshenu Banu Ve'esh Uva Mayim. A Pasuk in Tehillim that you wrote on a person over our heads, and we went into the fire and the water. So what does this mean? But Eish be made Nebuchadnezzar Arash. We went into the fire. This is talking about in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, because he threw Hanani Mishael Azariah into a Kivshan Ha'esh, into a fire. Uva Mayim, and when did we go into water? Bimei Paro. That was in the days of Paro, when Paro decreed that all the boys had to be thrown into the Nile, into the river. So that was when we had to go into the water. Vatotzienu l'revaya, and you took us out into enjoying plenty and things, good things. That's Bimei Haman. That was in the days of Haman. We had feasting, etc. In the days of Haman, everything happened through a feast. In the story of Purim. Rabbi Yochanan Pasuk Pischala Parshasa Mehacha. So now we're up to number eight, the eighth opening. Rabbi Yochanan would start dashing the Megillah with the following. Zachar Chasav Emunasal Veis Yisrael Ro Kalaf Seyaretz Eis Yeshua Selokeinu. He quoted a pasuk also in Tehillim that Hashem remembered his kindness and his promise to the Bnei Yisrael that all the ends of the earth have seen the Yeshua of Hashem. When did people from all over the place see Hashem's salvation? It was during the days of Mordechai and Esther when they sent out letters everywhere saying how we were all saved by Hashem, or that at least we were all saved, that we were victorious. Next, Reish Lakish introduced his teaching of the Megillah with the following. Like a lion roars and a bear does whatever sound a bear makes, and so too there's a Moshel Rasha, an evil ruler over a very poor nation. Again, this is a pasuk in Mishlei. Ari Noheim, who's that referring to? Who's the roaring lions and Nebuchadnezzar Rasha? That refers to Nebuchadnezzar Dichsevei Ala Aryeh Misubcho, that the lion got up from wherever lions are. Dov Shokek, it was a roaring bear or whatever sound bears make. Achashverosh, that's a reference to Achashverosh. Dichsev Bei Varuchi Ve'acharit Inyan Adam Yeladov, that another beast, the second one, was similar to a bear that came out. This is Daniel's Nevuah of four beasts. Each one is symbolic of a different galus that Klal Yisrael went through. So he saw a bear in one of them. Matanya of Yosef Elu Parsiim Sha'ochlin Vishosin Kedov. That refers to the Persians because they eat and drink like a bear. Umisrabal and Basar Kedov, and they're hefty and weighty like a bear. Umagadn Ser Kedov, and they grow hair like a bear all over their bodies. Vein Lamanucha Kedov, and also they don't rest like a bear. Moshel Rasha, and who's the wicked ruler that are talking about? Zehaman Al Amdal. He rules over a poor nation. Who's that? Elu Yisrael. That's us. That's Klal Yisrael. Shem Dalim in a mitzvos, that we're poor from mitzvos. Rabbi Lazar Pasuk Lepischal Parshas Mehacha. Rabbi Lazar would start dashing the Megillah by quoting the following pasuk, a pasuk in Koheles. That through the laziness the ceiling caves in, and by doing nothing with the hands the house starts to leak because we don't do anything to help keep it up. It was because of the laziness of the Jewish people in not learning enough Torah, that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, became poor. Mach means poor. Mach means he's too poor, but in that pasuk it means he's too poor to be able to pay the erech, the value. Ve'in mekara el HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shenemar ha-mekara v'mayim el Yosef. And when it says mekara, it refers to Hashem, even though it means, because it says that Hashem makes a roof with water. Ha-mekara v'mayim el Yosef. So I would say that, I guess that's main point number one. That's bitul bittul Torah that caused the gezeira against the Jewish people. Main point number one: bittul Torah caused the gezeira against the Jewish people. Rav Nachman Yitzchak pasul episkol parshas me'ach. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak started teaching the Megillah by quoting the following pasuk: Shira Malos, etc. Lule Hashem Shailanu Yomar Na Yisrael. That had Hashem not been with us, Israel will declare Lule Hashem Shailanu B'kum Aleinu Adam. Had Hashem not been there when a man rose against us. Adam v'lamelech, who rose against us? It was a regular guy. It wasn't a king. So that's a reference to Haman. So that's why he would start to darshan the Megillah by quoting that pasuk, because it talks about a man going against us, but not anyone of royalty, not a king. Rava pasuk l'piskul l'parshas me'acha. Rava began darshaning the Megillah by quoting the following pasuk: V'rvos tzadikim yismach am v'shol rasha ye'enach am. The pasuk in Mishlei says that when the tzadikim are raised up, so people celebrate, and when the evil people rule, then people like groan. So Birvos Sadiqim Ismach Ha'am, who's that referring to? Mordechai v'Esther. That's when Mordechai and Esther lifted up Tichsiv Yer Shushan Tzahala v'Samecha. When Mordechai and Esther were successful, everyone was overjoyed. Over Mishal Rasha Yenacham, and when a Rasha rules, everyone groans. Zehaman Tichsiv Yer Shushan Avocha, that the city of Shushan was saddened and was downtrodden when Haman made his gzeira. Rav Masna Me'acha, Rav Masna started his teaching of Megillah Esther by quoting the following pasuk: Ki mi goy gadol asher lo Elokim krov me'lav. What nation is so great that he has that the nation has Hashem so close to it? Haman told Achashverosh that Hashem had rejected us and that Hashem sent us away, but no, Hashem is close to us, and that's how he would start darshing the Megillah. That's the whole message of the Megillah, that Hashem doesn't forget Klal Yisrael. Rav Ashi Amar Mehacha, Rav Ashi would darshan from the following pasuk: Anisa Elokim, has any god done miracles quite like Hashem has done miracles, and Hashem is always there to save us and to bail us out? So now that we went through many of the ways that different Amoraim began teaching the Megillah, now we actually start darshaning the actual words of the Megillah. And this goes on for a few dapim, where we're going to just darshan psukim in the Megillah. It was in the days of Achashverosh. Amar Rav, so Rav says, what does vayihi mean? It's actually a combination of two words. Vay vihi. It means vay as in woe or oi, and he, which is Avelus, it's mourning. Hadad d'chsiv v'ismakartem sham loyvechal avadim l'shvachos. You'll sell yourselves there to enemies, to slaves, and shvachos. U'shmol amar, and Shmuel says, excuse me, lo ma'astim v'lo ga'altim l'chalosam. He would begin his teaching of Megillas Esther with the following pasuk. Now we're going back to more beginnings of how people would teach Megillas Esther. That I never became disgusted with Klal Yisrael. Lo ma'astim b'yimei Avanim. Hashem didn't become disgusted with us even in the days of the Greeks. Lo ga'altim b'yimei Nebuchadnezzar. He didn't reject us in the days of Nebuchadnezzar. L'chalosam b'yimei Haman, to wipe us out in the days of Haman. L'afabrisi itam, and l'afabrisi itam, to get rid of the covenant that Hashem has with us. B'yimei Parsiim, that refers to the days of the Persians. Ki ani Hashem Elokeim, because I am Hashem their God. Who's that when's that referring to? B'yimei Gog u'Magog, in the ultimate battle with Gog u'Magog. That's going to happen at the end of days in the coming of Mashiach. The Masnisa Tana, Loma asked him in the Brisa, there's a different way to understand this pasuk. Loma asked him be made Kazdim. That's in the days of the Kazdim. Shematilim Daniel Hanani Mishael Vazaria. That I gave the Jews such great leaders like Daniel Hanani Mishael Vazaria to help save them. Vloga Altim be made Yevanim. That's in the days of the Greeks. Shematilim Shimon Atzadik Chashmonoim Yevanim Matzio Kohen Gadol. That I gave them Shimon Atzadik and the Chashmonoim and the Matzio Kohen Gadol to help save them. L'chalosim be made Haman. And how did Hashem protect us in days of Haman? Shemadzi lahem Mordechai v'Esther. He gave us such great leaders like Mordechai and Esther. Lahafer brisi itam bimei parsiim, and lahafer brisi itam refers to the days of the Persians. Shemadzi lahem shalbeis Rabbi v'chachmei doros, that Rabbi Yudah Nasi and all the chacham of the later generations were there to help us out. Ki ani Hashem Elokeihem lo asudavo, because I am Hashem your God in the days to come. Shein kolum of lashon yichal lishol ben, where no one's going to be able to rule over Klal Yisrael. Rabbi Levi Amr Me'achar. Rabbi Levi introduced Megillah Esther with the following pasuk: if you don't drive out the inhabitants of Eretz Yisrael, there's a pasuk in Bamidbar. So, and it says that if you don't drive out the people who are in Eretz Yisrael, they're always going to be a thorn in your side. And because Shaul never drove out Amalek and never destroyed Amalek entirely, that's why we had a story like Haman. That's why they're always a thorn in our side all the way into the days of Haman. That's why he would start with that pasuk. Rabbi Chiya Amar Me'acha. Rabbi Chiya introduced Megillah Esther with the following pasuk: that what I thought to do to them, I will do to you. This is it's right after the pasuk about Imlos HaRishu. Hashem tells Klal Yisrael, if they don't destroy the enemies, then what Hashem wanted to do to our enemies, Hashem is instead going to do to us, and that's why we suffer so terribly. So now we go weiter in the Megillah. Achashverosh, so Amar Rav. So Rav tells us, what does Achashverosh mean? We're going to have four drushos about the name of Achashverosh. Amar Rav. Rav says Achashverosh is a combination of the words Achiv Shel Rosh, the brother of the head. Uben Gilo Shel Rosh, and he's also similar to the guy who is the Rosh. Achiv Shel Rosh, who's that? Achiv Shel Nebuchadnezzar Rosh Shnikra Rosh. That Achashverosh is a brother to Nebuchadnezzar who is called the Rosh. Shnemar Antu Resha Didahava. It's said about Nebuchadnezzar, he's the head of gold. Ben Gilo Shel Rosh, he's just like the Rosh. Hu Harag Bikesh Larog. Nebuchadnezzar killed, Achashverosh wanted to kill. Hu Hechriv, Hu Bikesh Lahachriv. Nebuchadnezzar actually destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Achashverosh wanted to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Never machs Achashverosh betchilas malchuso kasu sotnal yoshvei Yehuda v'Yerushalayim. During the time of Achashverosh, when he began to reign, they wrote an accusation against all the people of Yehuda and Yerushalayim, Ushmol, to try to destroy. Ushmol, Amar Shmol says shehushchuru p'neim shel Yisrael b'yam of kishulei kedera, that he's called Achashverosh because hushchuru, the faces of the Jewish people blackened like the bottom of a pot during the time of Achashverosh. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Kol Shazokra Amar Och Larosho. He says, no, Achashverosh means, the name Achashverosh symbolizes, anyone who thinks about him says Och on his head. Och Larosho, woe unto his head. Rabbi Chanina Amar, Shekal Nasu Roshan Biyamav. He's called Achashverosh because everyone became poor in his days. Shem Ravayasim Achashverosh Mas, because he put unreasonable taxes on the people. So main point number two, four drushos about the name Achashverosh. One, he's the brother of Nebuchadnezzar, Achiv Shel Rosh. Two, Hushchuru Pneim Shel Yisrael, the faces of the Jewish people were blackened. Three, Zochro Omar Omer Ach L'Rosh, anyone who remembers him says Ach L'Rosh. And four, Hakol Nasu Rosh, and everyone became poor in his time. So now we go further in darshing the Megillah. Hu Achashverosh hu b'risho mitchilas v'atzofa. So we say, from the word hu, when it says hu Achashverosh, teaches us that he was just as wicked from beginning of his life to the end of his life. Hu Esav, hu b'risho mitchilas v'atzofa. Same with Esav, he was just as evil at the beginning and at the end. Hu Dosan v'aviram, hein b'rishon mitchilas v'atzofa. And the same with Dosan v'aviram, they were just as evil at the beginning and the end of their lives. Hu HaMelech Achaz, hu b'risho mitchilas v'atzofa. The same is true with the king Achaz. Avram, hu Avraham, it says it by Avraham to tell us who b'tzidko mitchilas v'atzofa, that Avram was a tzaddik from beginning to end. Hu Aaron and Moshe, hein b'tzidkan mitchilas v'atzofa, and Aaron and Moshe were tzaddikim from beginning to end. V'David hu akatan, and it describes David as a katan, katan meaning as a humble person, hu b'katnusa mitchilas v'atzofa, that he remained humble even after he became king. When he was a lowly shepherd, no big deal that he was humble, but he remained humble even after he became king. K'shem she b'katnusa hiktinatzma esal misha gadol mena b'torah, kach b'malchusa hiktinatzma esal misha. Just like when he was very small, he was humbled himself in front of people who were greater than him in Torah. When he became very great, when he became the king, he humbled himself in front of people who were more wise than he was. So main point number three, the word who implies beginning to end, that the person retained the same character beginning to end, whether in wickedness or in tzidkus. So that applies to Achashverosh, Esav, Dasan, Aviram, Achaz, Avram, Aaron, Moshe, and David's humility. Good, the Megillah goes on. Hamolech, Amar Rav, Shemelech Me'atzmos. So Rav says this means that he took over the throne by himself. He didn't come from a royal family. Amri lo l'shvach, so some say this as a very great praise of Achashverosh. Amri lo l'gnayin, some say that this is speaking bad about Achashverosh. Amri lo l'shvach, love it, nishto chashav malchut kavasei. Some say that it's a great praise because he was obviously most deserving. That's how he was able to take the throne, even though he wasn't from a royal family. Amri lo l'gnayin, d'lav v'chazil malchusa, umemoni yiseiru hudiya v'kam. And others say, no, that speaks badly about Achashverosh because it tells us that he wasn't really worthy of the throne, but he paid his way into it. Mehodu vat kush, the Megillah says. Rav Shmuel, chanamar hodu b'sof ha'olam, b'kush b'sof ha'olam. Nechanamar hodu b'kush, kavi adadi, avukaimi. There's a machlokas whether hodu was at one end of the world and kush at the other end of the world, and it says that Achashverosh ruled from one to the other, meaning over the whole world. And the other one says, no, that hodu and kush were right next to each other. So what does it mean he ruled from hodu to kush? Kishem shemalach al hodu v'kush, kach malach b'sof ha'olam ad sofo. Just like he ruled over hodu and kush, which were right next to each other, so too he ruled over the whole world. So they're not arguing about how much Achashverosh ruled. He ruled over everything. Question is, where Hodu and Kush were exactly in relation to each other? Were they at opposite ends of the world, assuming, of course, the world has ends to it, or were they right next to each other? Kiyotze b'davar ha'omer. Similarly, Pasuk says, Ki hu rode b'chalei v'ranar mitivsach liad Aza, that King Shlomo ruled over everything from Tivsach until Aza. So Rav Shmuel, Chad amar Tivsach b'sof ha'olam ve'aza b'sof ha'olam, v'chad amar Tivsach v'aza b'ad ha'adad yavakami machlokas, whether these were two places at two ends of the world, or they were right next to each other, and it's just trying to tell us, k'shem shemalach al Tivsach v'al Aza, kach malach al kol olam kula, that just like he ruled over Tivsach and Aza, he ruled over the entire world as well. So the Megillah goes on, Sheva Medina, 127 Medinos that Achashverosh ruled over. So Amar Rav Chista, b'tchila malach al sheva, ul'b'sof malach al asrum, ul'b'sof malach al meya. It means Shiva first, he first ruled over only seven, then he expanded his malchus to 20, and then to 100. But it doesn't mean 127. It means 7, then 20, then 100. Elameata, but if that's the case, u'shnei chayei amram sheva u'shloshim u'ma'as shana ma'idrash tebe, it says the life of Amram was 137 years, but it says 7 and 30 and 100 years, so you can say the same thing, that first he lived 7, then he lived 30, then he lived 100. That doesn't make any sense. So how can you make such a drash over here by the Medinos? So says Mar Shaini Acha Dukra Yaseiruhu. Over here it's different because the Pasuk is an extra Pasuk. Michtik, Siv Mehodavad Kush. It already says that he ruled over Mehodavad Kush, which we said means the entire world. Shev Esu Medina Lamli. Why does it then have to specify that he ruled over 127 provinces? Shmamino, the drasha. Must be that it's trying to tell us such a drasha. Tan Rabbana, and we have a brisa, Shlosha Malchu Bekipa. There were three people that ruled over the entire planet, Ve'eluhain, and they are Achav, Achashverosh, and Nebuchadnezzar. Achav, Achashverosh, and Nebuchadnezzar. Achav, Dichsiv, Che Hashem Lekachem Yeshkayim Amlacha, Shalosh, Shalach Adoni, Sham Levak Shecha. Just like Hashem lives, there's no nation or any Malchus where he hasn't sent to look for you. So you see that obviously he had control over everywhere if he was able to look over. To look for people in all those places. If Achav didn't rule over them, how could he have made them swear? So obviously he ruled over all of them. That the nation and the kingdom that doesn't serve Nebuchadnezzar and won't put their neck under the all of the king of Babel, the yoke of the king of Babel. So that refers to everybody. So you see Nebuchadnezzar ruled over everybody. Achashverosh Hadamran, how do we know Achashverosh ruled over the whole world? That's already what we said. Mehodavad Kush means that he ruled over the entire world. So those who ruled over the entire world, main point number four over here, those who ruled over the entire world include Achashverosh, Achav, Nebuchadnezzar, And we pointed out Shlomo, and the Gemara is going to go into that next, about why Shlomo Melech wasn't listed in the Braisa as also somebody who ruled over the entire world, because we're going to see that Shlomo Melech, and we already pointed out that Shlomo Melech did in fact rule over the entire world as well. Tosfos points out Alexander the Great also ruled over the entire world, but there are no psukim to back that up, so we're not going to quote that in the Braisa. We only quote things that have actual psukim to back it up. Okay, so that is Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, and this is where it gets fun. We keep on going through the psukim in the Megillah. We're learning all about the actual story of Purim.